When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. Y'all ready for this? This is the Gimme the Hogs Chuck podcast presented by Weichert Realtors, the Griffin Company.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
He is a loathsome, offensive brute. Yet I can't look away.
This is the business we've chosen.
Give me them hogs with mustard, Chuck.
I'm just going to talk about baseball today. As we welcome you into the Give Me the Hogs Chuck podcast, presented by Weichert Realtors, the Griffin Company, and brought to you in part by the Bet Saracen app. I got to be honest, that's really all I'm thinking about today. And based on the conversations that I've had, I would venture to bet that if you're a Razorback fan, that's what you're thinking about today. I'm disappointed for everybody. I think that's my overall reaction to what transpired over the weekend. I'm going to be honest and say I didn't know if Arkansas was playing well enough to get to Omaha, but I thought they'd win this weekend. I did think they would win the first round of the regional, and then I thought they had a chance to get to Omaha, but, of course, obviously we'll never find out. I know people, from a fan standpoint, made a great effort to be there. If you weren't there, you were watching or listening. There was an emotional investment in it from virtually everybody in our state, whether you were at Baumwalker Stadium or not. I know the players and the coaches are more disappointed than anybody. I know some people are angry. I've heard from you. As those of you who follow this know, I don't do the Twitter thing. I think it's a mean, vile place, to be perfectly honest with you. I stay away. I also know that if I were on there, I'd get in an argument with somebody, I'd call them a bad name, and I'd be toast. So I just, for a lot of reasons, stay away. But I hear, and I'm smart enough to understand the mood. We live in an era, right or wrong, where every time our team loses, we want somebody fired. We want a pound of flesh. We want the person who's got the power to make a change to be as mad as we are. We apply oftentimes in our spring sports, if you're a college fan, we apply the same mentality to spring sports that we apply to football. If a particular part of the team's not playing well, that guy's got to be fired. If fans like the head coach, the assistants have got to be fired. If they don't like the head coach, then everybody's got to be fired. It's that way at every school. It's that way with every team. We're not unique in that respect. And I know there are a lot of people that are saying that right now. It's not going to happen. There's not going to be anybody fired over this. There are going to be adjustments made, and I want to talk about that a little bit later. But first, I want to play a soundbite from Dave. This came post-game yesterday. This is a long soundbite, about 90 seconds or so, but it's kind of his summation on what went down over the last 4 to 6 weeks.
We didn't pitch very good. I mean, that was pretty obvious the last month. It's you know, we had two of our, you know, we were rolling pretty good early. You know, you got bing, bang, boom. You got 1, 2, 3. You got two lefts and a right, and they're all going to give you innings. They're all experienced, and then all of a sudden – you can see a little crack in the armor. Once one got wild, one's always having issues with his arm. I mean, it was just boom. And the steady was Smith. Smith was the guy. He was the rock. He carried us. The whole season, that guy carried us. And, you know, I just think that, you know, the pitch had got a little tired. Offense was been a roller coaster all year. It's, you know, whether it's a shoulder injury or bad start for different players. And you know, we we had to fight for so many wins. You just go back and look at our scores. I'm going to say in the SEC, we had played 15 to 18 games, win or lose by less than 3 runs. Everything was tight. We didn't blow anybody out. They didn't blow us out. A lot of 5-4, 3-2. I mean, it was stressful. And, you know, I think maybe you just beat us up a little bit mentally. You know, by the time we got done at A&M, I was hoping that, you know, we'd recover a little bit. I thought we had. We hit at the tournament. We didn't pitch good at the tournament at all. I mean, we gave up 9 runs and I don't know how many else, but we came back, rested, and we swung the bat so good on Friday. Mm-hmm. We swung it really well yesterday, left 13 out there, and then today it looked like we were exhausted. You know, I didn't really know what to do or say.
You're listening to the Gimme the Hogs Chuck podcast presented by White Curd Realtors, the Griffin Company.
I've watched a lot of Razorback baseball games over the years, had the privilege of calling well over 1,000. My memories and my recollections go back perhaps a little bit further than some. And so I recall games from many years ago. Yesterday's game reminded me of 1999. When Arkansas lost to Clemson after losing to Missouri State in that end of the season. It all happened in one day then. They lost a heartbreaker to Missouri State, Southwest Missouri as it was known then. Then they had to turn around and play Clemson. Arkansas was better than Clemson, but they lost, I think, 12-4, and it was never a ball game. Clemson scored early, and that was that. From the moment the kid for SEMO hit the early home run yesterday, I thought Arkansas was toast. You know, I'm sure Andy Sawyers told his team before the game, hey, those guys are down. If we'll jump on them early, they'll fold. That's what happened. Arkansas, they barely put up a fight yesterday. But the key in everything that happened was Saturday night in the fifth inning when they got to Hagan Smith. That's what changed everything. Basically, it's what ended the season in retrospect. I went through a lot of the sequence this morning on the Morning Rush, and I'm not going to get into all that right now. But the one thing that a caller pointed this out this morning, that, you know, when you're, I think he referred to him as Superman. I don't know if I'd go quite that far, but the gist of the call was when Superman loses, you know, everybody else panics. And I'm not going to say everybody else panicked, but, you know, you heard in that clip from Dave a little bit ago, during the regular season, every time Smith pitched, they won. And they'd find a way to win one of the other games. And if there had been a situation where Smith didn't win, and I guess there were one or two, they generally didn't win that series. Because when your bell cow gets beat, everything changes between the ears. Everybody that came to the ballpark Saturday night expected Arkansas to win because Hagan Smith was pitching. Now, Kansas State did a great job, a masterful job, a textbook job of attacking him. They showed you how to attack a good pitcher in the bottom half of that fifth inning. But when you lose that game, it kind of felt like all hope was lost. And then SEMO grabs the lead Sunday, and for all intents and purposes, it's over. And that's where the disappointment and the bitterness begins. It probably began, I guess, Saturday night, and really hit a crescendo yesterday. I heard a lot of the calls from post-game shows, and I know people were angry. A lot of the anger focused on the offense in the aftermath of the weekend. Now, never mind that the pitching wasn't all that great, just to be real blunt about it. But the offense is what's drawn a lot of the fans' ire, if you want to use that term, over the past several weeks, several days, several months, maybe the past couple of seasons. I don't know. Now, sometimes Dave is so clear and so concise in his explanation, so matter of fact, that people don't really listen to what he has to say. They hear it, but they don't really listen. For those of you who ask yourself, ask your friends, called radio programs, gotten on Twitter, for those of you who have asked the question, what's wrong with the offense? This was Dave's explanation yesterday. I want you to listen to it. We'll talk about it on the backside.
We got to get a little better athlete. You know, we can't just have eight guys that hit homers. I like guys that hit doubles, and I like guys that hit homers, but you got to have some guys that can run too, and you got to be able to create some offense the days the wind's blowing in or they're really good on the mound and you're having trouble making contact. And that's something that that we want to do, and we're trying to get the right players. You know, the four guys that we lost last year that were high school kids, those kids could all really run, and they could hit and play. And it kind of devastated us a little bit. It threw us back. And so, yeah, always looking to get better and make adjustments.
That's the answer right there. That's the answer to your question. Now, I will preface everything I'm about to say with what I've said a million times over the course of my adult life. Whatever ails you in college sports in terms of winning and losing, the answer to your problem is always on the recruiting trail. Always. 100 times out of 100. And if you listen to what Dave says right there, he's talking about the reconstruction of the roster. Now, take a look at some things that happened this season. And this is one of the reasons, quite frankly, that during the latter stages of the year, I began to wonder whether or not this was an Omaha team. They had a lot of home run hitters, a lot of guys that swing for the fences, a lot of power hitters. Now, that's great. You got to have those guys. But as you heard Dave say a few moments ago, you got to have guys that set the table. I drew a basketball analogy earlier today. You can't play basketball with five setters. And you can't play baseball with eight or nine home run hitters. Look at when Arkansas was most effective over the weekend. It's when Wilmsmeyer was on. It allowed them to do other things. It allowed them to put pressure on the defense. Arkansas got to a point in this season, and it happened fairly early, to be honest, where the only pressure the offense was putting on the opposition was with the hitter. There wasn't a guy out there that was going to steal bases. You didn't have to worry about, are we going to run the wheel play here because they might sack bunt with guys on first and second. You didn't have to think about that. Pitcher didn't have to throw over to first base five times. He knew that guy wasn't going anywhere. They were playing for the big inning because that's what their lineup dictated. And then we saw Wilmsmeyer get on base a bunch Friday night. I thought that's when they were at their most effective. Having somebody on base who can run changes the complexion of the inning. Changes the way the pitcher works. First off, he's got to work out of the stretch. But if you got a guy who can run, he's got to decide, do I kick? Do I slide step? Do I show him my best move on the first throw over there? Do I wait for my third throw over there to show him my best move? You know, and it changes the way you pitch to the hitter. You know, this is a traditional breaking ball count. If I throw a curveball in the dirt here, he's probably going and he's going to get to second base. It changes everything. It changes what you can do. I thought Kendall Diggs, had his best swing in a month when they started the runner from first base on Saturday night. That's what you do when a guy's in a slump if the situation presents itself. You start the runner because it forces the batter to focus solely on contact. Diggs did exactly what you're supposed to do. Drove the ball up the middle. Runner got over to third base. You contrast that with K-State's fifth inning. Two walks, a sack bunt, couple of slap singles, squeeze play, three-run bomb. Man, that's baseball right there. And I had great appreciation for the way they approached it. But if you listen to what Dave's saying right there, he's giving you the answer to your question. And you compare it with some of Arkansas's better offensive teams. There's been a real leadoff hitter. There wasn't a real leadoff hitter this year. Power hitters have certain characteristics. One of them is they generally do not hit for a high average. I think that's why Arkansas's batting average was so low, because they had a lineup of power hitters. A lot of times it's feast or famine. Now, they're not the only team in the SEC that plays this way. You look at Major League Baseball right now, it's basically walk, strikeout, double, home run. That's the way the games play. You look in the Southeastern Conference, that's the way the games play by a lot of teams. And unfortunately, this year, Arkansas was one of them. You got to have more than that when you get to this stage of the season. You've got to be able to beat teams in a multitude of ways. In basketball, if you live by the three, you're eventually going to die by it. In baseball, if you live by the home run, you're eventually going to die by it. And there's got to be more balance in the lineup. The answer, if people say, well, how do you do that, is you go find them on the recruiting trail. They thought they had them. They had four guys signed, didn't work out. They went pro. If you get one of those guys, might change the complexion of the offense. Wilmsmeyer was really good this past weekend, but he didn't hit much this year, so you couldn't play him a whole lot, just to be honest. You look at the lineup card for the weekend, the outfielders were batting 7, 8, 9. How many good teams out there have their outfielders batting 7, 8, 9? You know, you got to have production. Ideally, you've got one of those guys maybe at the top of your lineup. But Arkansas had to play all theirs at the bottom because they just weren't getting the kind of production that you need from players at those positions on good teams. There are certain spots on the field where you got to get offensive production out of that guy. There's certain positions where if you get offensive production, it's a bonus. But there's certain spots where you got to have some offensive production. If you can't find your best defensive left fielder, for example, you got to have some offensive production to break the tie. Otherwise, you got three guys who aren't great defensive players, and none of them's gotten hot enough to earn a job every day. Some of that happened this year, too. So I think, and I'm going to wrap it up here because I know I've rambled. I think if you really pay close attention, you're going to see what they're trying to do. The question is, can they do it? Clearly, we'll find out at the end of next season. But Dave Van Orn's not going to get fired. He's not going to fire Nate Thompson. He's not going to fire Matt Hobbs. Now, they might get a head coaching job somewhere. Who knows? But that's the only scenario by which I can see a change in Arkansas staff. Philosophical change is too strong a term for what Dave was talking about there. That's a football term. That's a Nick Saban term. Doesn't apply here. It seemingly fits, but the reality is it doesn't. If you follow Dave's career and you go back to all the great teams that he's had, and he's had a bunch of them, number one, they've always had somebody good at the top of the lineup. There's always been balance to their lineup. There have been big boppers, for sure, but there's always been a balance to the lineup, guys who could protect the plate with two strikes. Now, the thing that they're going to have to do when they go out on the recruiting trail is – they're not just looking for one position. They're looking for multiple positions all over the field, to be very honest. And then you got to replace Hagan Smith. You know, we can talk about all this offensive stuff until we're blue in the face, but you better go get you a bell cow pitcher. Because as we saw this year, and as we see with the teams that are still playing, you got to have that great guy. He doesn't have to be the best in the college game. Sure is nice when you got him. But you got to have somebody you count on to get you off to a good start every Friday.
Bet Online is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Hey, if you're buying or selling a home, my friends at Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company, those are the people you need to talk to. I can tell you from my experience over the years that you cannot partner with a more knowledgeable real estate agent, number one. And you're also going to partner with somebody who listens to you and tries to make your dream come true. Because, look, buying a home's a big deal. You're spending a lot of money, probably the most money you've ever spent. You want someone that understands the game. But you're also moving into your home where a lifetime of memories are going to be made. And you want somebody who understands exactly what it is you're looking for. So whichever side of the table you're on, what I can tell you, and I've been on both sides of the table with them, What you're going to find is an agent that gets you where you want to go, and that's from contract to close, and that's perhaps what they do best. They're in Northwest Arkansas. They're in Washington and Benton counties. They're also in Fort Smith. Yair's talking about their office. They're in Branson, Missouri as well. They've got a wide selection of homes, and you can always check it out at WeikertGriffin.com. All right, the NBA playoffs resume later this week. Daniel Gafford for the Mavericks. You got Jordan Walsh with the Celtics. I don't know who you got, but I know if you've not downloaded the Bet Saracen app, you're not ready. It's Arkansas's favorite sports betting app. And when you go there right now, I mean, you can click on the Arkansas icon. I mean, you've got Gafford. You got all kinds of stuff. There's not baseball anymore, but there's an Arkansas connection on there, I promise you. Football's not that far away. I mean, less than 90 days. So if you've not downloaded the Bet Saracen app, you're missing out. Do it today. They've got a how-to-play video, and they'll get you ready to roll with the Bet Saracen app. All right, that's enough for today. Who knows what's going to happen during the course of this week, but I know we'll be around in the middle of the week to chronicle it all. So until then, thanks for listening.
Subscribe to the Gimme the Hogs Chuck podcast. Go to hitthatline.com or search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to rate, review, and share.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.